Good morning. I'm so glad to be here. Glad you are here. We're going to start this morning with a question. We're going to write it down right away. This is the question we're going to try to figure out today. How do I know what decisions to make and what is best for my life? All right, how do you know what decisions to make? How do you make your decisions? You just roll a dice and throw it. Like, how do you make your decisions? And how should we make decisions? And we're going to talk about that today because probably you are facing some decisions today or tomorrow in the coming month. You're going to have to decide how to live your life. And today is all about how we make those decisions. All right, so on Valentine's Day, just a couple weeks ago, I came to my wife. I was like, hey, baby, what do you want to do for Valentine's Day? You know, we should go get a restaurant, and like maybe we can go get a hotel room. And some of you already saw what happened because I asked my wife, what do you want to do? And she said, I want to go dishwasher shopping for Valentine's Day. I was like, are you serious? And she's like, man, those things are sexy. So she wanted to actually go without kids. She go shopping without kids. So I was like, all right, let's go. So we went dishwasher shopping on Valentine's Day. I bought a dishwasher. So then it was like time to install the dishwasher. I can do public speaking. I can't do maintenance, all right? All you guys in here who are like really good with handy stuff, don't judge me. I'm just not one of you, okay? I just can't do that stuff. So I got my buddy who is one of our youth leaders here, Mike, to come help me install the dishwasher. Well, Mikey's great at this stuff. And so, did I see him in here? Is he in here right now? There he is, right there, Mikey, right there. Okay, so he's in our third service here. All right, so Mikey came over to help me. He's like, I don't know how to do this stuff. So we're like working on it. We're getting the dishwasher out. He goes under the sink and tries to crank this valve to shut off the hot water. Because you know, before you take an old dishwasher out, you have to disconnect the water. That's huge. Well, he's like, it's kind of stuck. So I grab a tool. I go under the sink. It's a line from the hot water to the dishwasher. It's got a little valve here. And I start cranking on it. I'm cranking on it. This thing is like stuck and I'm cranking on it. I finally get it. I turn it all the way. He's like, did you shut it off? Yes, I shut it off. Are you sure it's off? Yes, I'm sure it's off. He pulls the line off the dishwasher. Was it off? No. The water starts spraying out. Now, I have to give you just a little picture here. Okay, I have 9 people in my house, sometimes 10 or 11 people living in our house. I keep the hot water heater as about as hot as it can go because I don't want to run out of hot water. And so Mikey is now holding this hose, getting blasted with hot water, like blazing hot water, spraying on me, it's spraying on him. Do you know how long it takes for a kitchen to fill up with hot water? About 30 seconds. Right? Oh, he jumps in there. He's trying to shut the valve off. The valve had broken, so that it just didn't work. And so I run downstairs. All my sloshing socks go down the stairs. I shut the whole water valve off to the whole house, come back upstairs. We're like getting every towel in the house, picking up these steaming hot towels, putting them in the dishwasher or in the laundry. Now you're like, now I know why his dishwasher broke. Right? Putting them in the machine that fixes dirty clothes. I'm really not good at this stuff, I'm telling you. Right. So it was disgusting. But like, so my friend is like getting blasted with hot water. It's terrible. Now, I want you to understand, like after this, things didn't like turn around and go right. Okay, all of a sudden, we go to install the new dishwasher and like the electrical box is broken on the new dishwasher underneath. So we had to like get around that. And then there was a part missing and another part missing. I'm just like, this is... No, I was like, this always happens. I said to Mike, I was like, every time I do something in my house, this always happens. And you know what Mike says to me? Yeah, it's great. I'm like, what is wrong with you? You work with our youth. You can't work with them anymore. What is wrong with you? He goes, no, it's great, Jeff. You're learning new things. We're gonna be able to do another dishwasher someday, and we're not going to have these problems. And so from the exact same situation, 2 different people had completely different perspectives, didn't they? 2 totally different feelings. I was irritated. He was feeling insightful. He was like, this is a great thing to teach us. And I'm like, I don't want a philosophy lesson. I want a new dishwasher. I'm feeling irritated. He's feeling insightful. I actually find it fascinating that 2 people in the exact same situation can feel 2 different things. Why is that? It's because your feelings will fail you. It's because your feelings are not a reliable indicator of what reality is. You may feel great about something that's awful. You may feel awful about something that is great. Why did I start looking at pornography when I was in elementary school? Because it felt good for a minute. Why do people cheat on their spouses? Because it feels good in the moment. Our feelings will fail us. We're talking about how to make decisions in our life. And one of the things we rely on most is our feelings. That if we're relying on our feelings to make our decisions, they will fail us. Feelings fail. Okay, so you're trying to figure out what to do 30 seconds from now, 30 minutes from now, 30 days from now, 30 years from now. And you are going to rely on one of these boxes. One of these is how you're going to make your decisions. And feeling is the first thing we're going to talk about. Let's go ahead and write it down. How do I know what decisions to make? Option number one is my feelings. And this drives me nuts now because the whole world says feelings is the way to go. These are actual quotes I got off Facebook. I didn't make these up. Okay, quote number one, follow your heart. Even though it's on your left, it's always right. I want to die. Okay, Facebook post, trust your feelings. They'll lead you where you want to go. If where you want to go is death and destruction and addiction to pornography, sure. Your feelings will take you there in a moment. All you gotta do is let them take control of your life. Here's the deal. You've actually lived off this. Maybe you don't believe it. Maybe you know this is not true, but you've lived this way before because you've made decisions about your future based on how you feel, haven't you? You've gotten into relationships based on infatuation. Maybe you've even gotten married because you have feelings for someone. You have not forgiven people because you've been mad at them. Parents, you've yelled at their kids because you felt angry. You've been addicted because it started with a feeling that you were chasing or a feeling you were getting away from. Your feelings will ruin your life because feelings fail. Will you say it with me again? Feelings fail. They do. They fail us. Look at Proverbs 9:17. It says, stolen water is sweet and food eaten in secret is delicioso. Right? It's so good, man. That's stolen water. Someone texted in during one of the services and said, how do you steal water? They asked the question. And, you know, that's not the point. I mean, back then they had wells. Oh, sorry, I got clicked on a different question someone sent in earlier. Back then, they had wells, so you could steal water from them. But that's not the point. The point of this verse is when we do things that are wrong, it feels good. And we know it feels good. Christians don't deny that sin feels good. That's why we do it, because it feels good. If it didn't feel good, we wouldn't do it. The problem is when we're following our feelings and we're drinking stolen water, when we're eating food in secret, and we're doing these things we know we shouldn't do, but our feelings are leading us to do. Proverbs tells us what happens. Stolen water is sweet. Food eaten in secret is delicious. But little do they know, the people that do this, that the dead are there, that her guests are deep in the realm of the dead. So you got feelings. And you go there because it tastes good, right? When you follow your feelings for a little while, it's full of candy and suckers and deliciousness. But the dead are there. It will lead you to death and it will fail you. Let's write this down. Feelings fail. They are fragile. They are fleeting. And they're fond of falsehoods and fabrications. You need to tell yourself this. Right? I can't trust them to be a reliable guide for making good decisions. Feelings fail. Let's say it again together. Feelings fail. So if not feelings, then what do we follow? Well, box number two is what we're going to talk about right now. There was a married couple. I've changed the names, changed the story a little bit, so you wouldn't know who they are if you would. You probably wouldn't know them anyway, but I've been through this conversation multiple times. There was a man and a woman. They loved each other. They were married. She started getting annoyed with him. So she started praying, God, help me to fall in love with my husband. God, help me. Help me to fall in love. God, I want love. Help me. Help me, God. I want love again. But she went to her office. And there was a guy there, new guy. And he was everything her husband wasn't. He was on time. He was handsome. He smelled good. He was responsible. He saved his money. I don't know, whatever it was. He was everything her husband wasn't. And she fell in love with him. And she was in the process of leaving her husband to follow this guy. I sat down with her. I was like, you can't do this, right? You are married to your husband. You should go back to your spouse. Let's work this out. And she said, No, I'm not going back there because God sent me this man. I said, what do you mean? She goes, this new guy? I said, God sent him to me. It was a sign from God because I said, God, I want to have love again. And then he showed up in my life. Now, is that true that God sent him to her? No. Satan sent him to her. I know, because Mark chapter 10 says this. Jesus was talking. He said, at the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother, be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. They're no longer two, but one. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no one separate. That's what Jesus said. So if we're doing something that Jesus said was wrong, it wasn't God who gave you the sign to go after it. The person in my story ignored Jesus' words, and they followed a sign. This is the second thing that we do. If we don't use our feelings, we're often following signs. Let's go ahead and write it down. Option two, how do I know what decision to make? Option two is signs. You know, I want this thing. And then I pray for it. And if this thing shows up, well, that's a sign. God must be giving it to me. If I want a new car and someone pulls in my driveway like 10 minutes later and says, hey, I'll give you this car half off. I'm like, it's a sign from God. God must want me to have this car. So I take it. And we're following signs instead of God's words or wisdom. We go, hey, I need more money. I got a job offer to earn more money. It must be from God. Never mind the fact that this job now doesn't allow me to go to church anymore. You know, I'm going to ignore that. And I'm just going to say it's a sign that I saw from God. Now, signs are, here's what we're going to say. Signs are shady. Okay, can you say it with me? Signs are shady. Come on, a little louder if you would. Signs are shady. Here's why they're shady. Matthew chapter 12, Jesus is talking. He says, some of the Pharisees and teachers of the law said to Jesus, teacher, we want to see a sign from you. He answered, a wicked and adulterous generation asks for a sign. Wicked and adulterous generation asked for a sign. In other words, people who are asking for signs from God and saying, hey, I saw this God brought this person in my life, I'm going to follow this sign, are following things that may be satanic. Because anytime you're trying to look for a picture or a sign outside of God's words to tell you what to do, you're looking for wisdom from something that is not from God. And if it's in the spiritual realm and it's not from God, it is from Satan. We're following things that are evil and wrong, our own desires. In fact, it's called adulterous generation, because often it's our own desires that we want this thing. And so I imagine these scenarios where I see this thing as a sign. Actually, some of you have messed with Ouija boards, looking for a sign. You've read horoscopes, looking for a sign, or done astrology. Well, you got to understand, this is looking for signs. This is Isaiah 47. This is what God says about it. Disaster will come upon you. Then he starts being sarcastic. Oh, keep on then with your magic spells, with your many sorceries, which you have had labored at since childhood. All the counsel you receive is only worn you out. In other words, it's not been worth anything. Let your astrologers come forward, those stargazers who make predictions month by month. Okay, that's horoscopes. Let them save you from what's coming. Surely they are like stubble. The fire will burn them up. They can't even save themselves from the power of the flame. These are not coals for warmth. This is not a fire to sit by. All of them go on in their error. In other words, fire is coming, judgment is coming. God is going to destroy horoscopes, astrologers, and people who mess with them. God is going to burn in fire. If you're sitting near that fire, you're going to get burned too. In fact, in the Old Testament, it says if there's someone who deals in this sort of practice, their law was kill them. Don't ask them to change, just kill them. Why? Because if you're trying to seek out special knowledge about the future without God, who are you seeking? Who has knowledge of future events other than God himself? When you are reading horoscopes, you are listening to words from Satan. You're not listening to God. You're not listening to stars. You're listening to demons. And when you're looking for signs from things other than God, it will actually bring destruction into your life. You will make bad decisions, because when you're reading horoscopes, and this is from Satan, and you're basing your life off psychics or astrology or things like this, do you think Satan wants what's best for you? No. He wants you to do things that sound good but will ruin you, doesn't he? And this is why when you're basing your life off these things, off these signs, it will ruin your life. And so you have to be super careful here not to do that. It'll lead you to bad decisions. It will lead you to demonic stuff. Let's write this down. Signs can be shady. They're shams, sometimes satanic. I shouldn't seek them as a primary method to know what God wants for me. And actually, you can circle the word primary. Okay, don't seek them as the main way to hear from God. Right? We can ask God for signs. It's not always wrong, but I want you to listen to a section of the Bible where they actually use signs the right way. This is Acts chapter 4. Okay, this is after some Christians have been arrested. They prayed, Lord, consider their threats, the people who are bad, consider their threats and enable us, your servants, to speak your word with great boldness. Okay, so that's their goal, is to speak the words of God. He says, stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. Okay, so they're asking God for signs and miracles, but why are they asking for it? So that they can be more bold when they talk about Jesus. So that when they go somewhere and they talk about Jesus and they say, let me pray for you, and they pray for someone, that person gets healed and that person goes, wow, Jesus is the real deal. They're not asking for signs. Oh, what should I do next month? God, give me a sign. Should I buy the Mazda or the Ferrari? Like, they're not asking for those kind of signs. They're asking God for signs about how to make God look awesome. So, what is the right way then? If feelings fail and signs are shady, what is the right decision? Well, grab your Bibles and turn to Proverbs chapter 3. We've been in the book of Proverbs now for a couple months. We've been going through chapter 3. Each week we do a couple verses. We landed here today. This is the verse we're actually studying. I know it's kind of funny to not get into Proverbs until like halfway through the sermon, but in order to understand what this is talking about, we had to get rid of the idea that feelings or signs work. So now that that doesn't work, there's only one way to know what God wants our futures to be like. The guy who wrote the book of Proverbs, his name was Solomon, one of the wisest men who'd ever lived. You're going to flip to page 512. You can find the big three. That's the chapter. Go all the way down to the little tiny 13. That's the verse. All right, and it says, blessed. That's a big word. Just remember that word, blessed. Blessed are those who find wisdom. Those who gain understanding. I'm going to read it again. Blessed are those who find wisdom, those who gain understanding. Let's pray about this. God, these words are true. We want to understand them more. Help me to communicate it right. God, help us to put this deep inside our hearts, not to rely on feelings or signs, but to rely on wisdom. Help us understand why it's important, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, let's write it down. How do I know what decisions to make? The third option is wisdom. Wisdom. Feelings fail. Signs are shady, but wisdom wins. Will you say that with me? Wisdom wins. Wisdom wins, okay? This is how we get great things from God. This is how we know what decisions to make. We don't rely on our feelings. We don't rely on signs. We rely on wisdom, God's words. Actually, let's go ahead and write this down. Wisdom wins. Here's what it is. It's gaining instruction, having knowledge, insight, good judgment, attaining advice, prudence, that's the right type of caution, discretion, then putting them into practice. It's the opposite of foolishness. So if you're a fool, I'm going to do the opposite of what you do, and I will be wise. I'm not saying you are a fool. I'm just using you as an example, fool. All right? I'm just kidding. I love you. All right. It's gaining instruction. All right? I want to point out what each one of these is. It's gaining instruction. Instruction is when you go and you say, teach me something. Teach me. So you listen to your teachers. You read books about it, right? You gain knowledge. Having knowledge. So you not only hear it, you keep it. You keep this knowledge in your brain. You rely on it. It's insight. Insight is when you look at two situations and you're able to know which decision would affect things and how. Then it's good judgment. Good judgment is being able to go, this is the wrong decision. This is the right decision. Sometimes people don't have good judgment. The Word of God actually says people in today's culture have consciences that are seared. It means they're not able to tell the difference between wrong and right. In fact, sometimes the wrong thing, our culture, our world looks at it and goes, this is good. This is really good. And if you haven't had a seared conscience, you look at you go, no, this is evil. The rest of the world's going, no, it's good. But good judgment is being able to tell the difference between what good and evil really is. Obtaining advice, that's being able to seek out the right type of people who love God, who are wise, getting advice from them. Prudence, the right type of caution. Okay, so the wrong type of caution is, God wants me to be generous, but I don't trust him, so I'm gonna hold on to my money. That's cautious, but it's the wrong kind. The right type of caution is, there's a cliff here. Should I jump off? Probably not, right? That's the right type of caution. Discretion, you probably know what that is, and then putting them into practice. So just living it, actually doing it is part of wisdom, the opposite of foolishness. Okay, so last week, if you were here, We talked about God disciplining us. I'm going to show you why this is important. We talk about God disciplining us, and we're twisted people. Remember this? We're twisted people. And God, to discipline us, to straighten us out, to get us to where he wants us to be, has to kind of do this number on us, right? And it doesn't feel good. So if you're going through discipline from God and you're relying on your feelings, are you going to say, well, this is, I am glad God's discipline. No, you're going to say, this is terrible. If you're looking for signs and God's hitting you over the head with a hammer, what sign are you seeing? Stars, right? Right? You're seeing Tweety birds, right? You're seeing God must not love me. That's what you're seeing, right? Like, God, why would God do this to me if you're looking for signs? But if you have wisdom, which relies on knowledge of God's words in scripture, you're going to say, you know what? God said, endure hardship as discipline. So when I'm going through something difficult, God's disciplining me. Scripture also says that God disciplines me because he loves me. So I'm going through some really tough crap right now. And you know what this means? It means God loves me. Wisdom can teach you and bring you through things that feelings and signs would never, ever let you experience. Because feelings will fail you and signs are a sham. But wisdom wins. That's why this is so important. I'll look at a question. Someone texted in and said, didn't Gideon ask for signs? There was a guy named Gideon in the Old Testament of the Bible who asked for a sign from God. God gave him a sign. There's two things I want to point out from Gideon, if you know it, the story. The first thing is that Gideon was asking for a sign, not for personal revelation to know whether he should buy a Ferrari or a Porsche. He was asking for a sign from God to know whether to lead Israel to do this or lead God's nation to do that. He was asking God, how do I lead your people? And he's wanting to honor God. The second thing is, if you really dive into the story, Gideon had a serious lack of faith and a lack of trust in God. And so this was Gideon's lack of trust, not Gideon's wisdom, that was leading him to ask this question. Someone watching online texted in and said, I didn't think Satan could actually know the future. Okay, Satan knows the future in the same way that some people can predict the stock market, right? I have no idea how that stock market works. I could try to make a prediction, it's not gonna work. You and me are gonna try to predict the future, it's not gonna work. Satan is way wiser and way more intelligent than any of us, and he sees things on a spiritual level from a dimension that we'll never see it. So he can predict the future with much more accuracy than we can, even though he cannot see the future like God sees the future. Does that make sense? And so that's why it goes tricky. Sometimes you read your horoscope and you're like, wow, it nailed it. Yeah, because Satan correctly predicted that, but he's not trying to lead you down the right path. He's trying to trick you and get you go down the wrong one. Okay, he doesn't actually see the future. He's just really smart about what might come around the next bend. All right, good questions. Let's get back to this. All right, so we're relying on wisdom because feelings fail, signs are shady, but wisdom wins. Will you say that with me? Feelings fail, signs are shady, wisdom wins. Okay, now we want to dive into wisdom. Grab your Bibles again. Look at Proverbs 3, verse 13 to 15. It says, blessed are those who find wisdom, those who gain understanding. For she, and it always personifies wisdom as a she is more profitable than silver, yields better returns than gold. She is more precious than rubies. Nothing you desire can compare with her. Nothing you desire can compare with wisdom. Think of the best thing you could ever imagine. The coolest boat, the best motorcycle. I don't know, that's what I would imagine. Then put in the hottest woman, my wife. Then fill it with gold and ruby. Don't put my wife in your boat. You know what I mean, right? Fill it with gold and rubies, all that kind of stuff. And whatever valuable thing you have, then multiply it times 10, and wisdom is better than that. Having wisdom is better than that. Here's why. Look at the next verses. And by the way, I'm going to go super fast with this. Get your outline ready. We're going to write a bunch of stuff down. We're going to read this really fast, okay? Verse 16 says, wisdom brings us stuff like this. Long life is in her right hand. In her left hand are riches and honor. Okay, write it down. Verse 16 says, wisdom brings long life, riches, and honor. Verse 17, her ways are pleasant ways, and all her paths are peace. Verse 17 says, wisdom brings us peace. Verse 18, she is a tree of life to those who take hold of her. Those who hold her fast will be blessed. Write it down. Verse 18 says, wisdom brings you a tree of life. Okay, that's like really good life. Verse 19 to 23, actually I'm going to jump down to 23, says, then you will go on your way in safety and your foot will not stumble. Verse 23 says, wisdom brings you safety. Verse 24, when you lie down, you will not be afraid. When you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. Verse 24, wisdom says you'll have sweet sleep. Verse 25, have no fear of sudden disaster or the ruin that overtakes the wicked, for the Lord will be at your side and will keep your foot from being snared. Verse 25 says you will have no more fear. Verse 26 says the Lord will be with you. Feelings fail, signs are shady, but wisdom wins because of what it brings us. It doesn't bring us death. It doesn't bring us demonic stuff. Wisdom brings us, what did it say? Long life, okay, long life. Also said wisdom brings you riches. Oh, and the best one of all, wisdom brings us sweet, sweet sleep. Oh, yeah. Listen, what's ironic about all of this is that Scripture tells us that if you pursue riches, if this is what you're going after, you will lose your soul. It says if you're trying to obtain a long life, your life could be cut short. If you pursue sleep, you'll become lazy and lose everything. But you pursue wisdom, and wisdom gives these things to you as a gift. You don't have to chase these things. You just get them as a side effect of pursuing wisdom. This is massive, people. This is massive. So the question is, how do we get wisdom? John Piper, a great pastor, he wrote down five ways to get wisdom. I'm stealing them because I'm wise enough to steal them. I'm going to take them. I'm going to share with you four of them. I'm going to add one. This is really important. It's all from Scripture. But before we get into it, I want you to see this huge promise, right? This is the number one way to get wisdom. It's a big promise from God. Wisdom says, I love those who love me, and those who seek me find me. Will you say those who seek me find me? Okay, I love those who love me, and those who seek me find me. Okay, that's a promise. Do you understand this? All you have to do is seek wisdom and you will find her. This actually reminds me so much about God, because God is not hiding from you. All right, Jesus came, he died, he rose from the dead, and he said, go tell people about me. Jesus is not hiding from you. If you want God, all you have to do is say, God, I want you. Jesus, I believe that you lived, died, and rose from the dead. I believe that when you died on the cross, you were taking my sins. You were taking my punishment so I don't have to be punished. You believe that? You are saved. It's so easy, so simple. God wants to forgive you. He's not making you run a marathon or climb a ladder. It's the same thing with wisdom. You want wisdom? You don't have to run a marathon. You just say, you just go out, just wisdom. I want to be wise. And that's it. You will find wisdom. Let's write it down. How do I get wisdom? The number one way is you love it and you seek it. Feelings fail, signs are shady, but wisdom wins. So run after wisdom. Right? Proverbs 4:8 says, embrace her and she will honor you. Right? So you embrace her. And here's the hard thing about embracing wisdom. Your feelings will be like, uh-uh, don't go there. Right? Your feelings will be like, go cheat on your spouse with this person because it feels really good. You're like, well, wisdom says I should embrace wisdom and not leave my spouse. And your feelings are going to be like, no, leave. Your spouse doesn't understand you. They don't even like you. They're disgusting. And the more they smell bad in the morning, they fart in bed. Like you're, right? It's just, you're going to get all that from your feelings. But wisdom was going to say, don't leave. You got to listen to wisdom instead of feelings, instead of signs. And when you embrace her, what will happen? Your life will start to change. She will bring you peace and safety and long life and riches and happiness. And okay, that's the first way. You just got to go after her. Here's the second way to get wisdom. The law of the Lord is perfect, Psalm 19 says, refreshing the soul. The statutes, okay, the rules of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. Let's write it down. Number two. Know the words of God, the law of the Lord. Okay, if you want to be wise, you got to know this word. Right, in here are God's rules, are God's principles, are God's pieces of advice, stories about who Jesus is. And when you know this, Scripture says, even if you're simple, if you're a simple person, you'll become wise when you know this. The number three way to get wisdom, and this is important at Revolution Church, we talk about this all the time. Let's start with Proverbs 12:1. Whoever loves discipline loves knowledge, but he who hates correction is stupid. All right, you got to love being disciplined. And then Proverbs 15:22 says, Plans fail for lack of counsel, but with many advisors, they succeed. Okay, let's write this down. To become wise, we need to accept correction, discipline, and advice from other people. Primarily people who know and love Jesus and live wise and holy lives. Right? Scripture actually says the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. So we could include fearing God on this list. But here's the problem. Sometimes people are going to be like, I tried asking for advice and I got like five different people and they all gave me different pieces of advice and I don't know what to do. And it's like, okay, I'm glad you're asking for advice. Who did you ask? Well, I asked this dude in my recovery place. Okay, well, okay. What church do they go to? I don't think they go to church. Okay, they don't know Jesus. They don't know the source of wisdom. Okay, well, I also asked this person who goes to our church. Okay, when was the last time that person read their Bible? I don't know. Okay, listen, if you want to find someone who's going to give you good advice, find someone who knows Jesus, who loves Jesus, and is living a wise life themselves. Don't ask your homie who was strung out a month ago. Right? Am I right or am I wrong? Right? You got to ask the right people, too. All right, you want a sign? Let me tell you how to get a good sign. You find someone who loves Jesus, is really wise. They've been walking the right way for a long time. And you take whatever plan you have in mind and you just tell them, here's my plan. And then you ask them what they think about it. And they're going to give you an answer. And whatever their answer is, you take that as a sign. If you want a sign, take that as a sign. And let me give you a little piece of advice too. When you ask a wise person for a sign or to say, hey, give me a piece of advice on this. A wise person is generally not an obnoxious person. Because the Bible also says there's wisdom in like holding back. So a wise person is not going to hear your advice and go, oh yeah, I'll give you advice. That's stupid. And I'm even stupider because you told me, right? They're not going to like throw it all out there. You're going to say, hey, give me some advice. And a wise person is going to look at it. And they're probably going to point out the good things about it. They're going to be, you know what? I like this. I like where you're going. I like what you're trying to do. Now, if you're a fool, you'll grab that and go, they like it. They like it. But you got to listen carefully to the wise person. They're going to say, yeah, I like it. I like what you're trying to do. You might want to be careful in this area. Did you hear that? You might want to be careful in this area. They're saying you might want to be careful in this area, and that should be a flashing red light to you if a wise person says you might want to be careful in this area because they're trying to warn you. Listen carefully to the wise people that you know. All right, here's the fourth way. You pray for wisdom. You just pray for it. This isn't some secret God is hiding. God wants you to have wisdom. God wants you to have wisdom. He knows feelings fail. He knows signs are shady. And he knows that wisdom wins. And he wants you to win. So just ask him to give you wisdom and he will give it to you. James chapter 1 says this, if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God who gives generously to all without finding fault and it will be given to you. Just ask God for it and he'll give it to you. Now number five is epic. I love this one, it's my fave. Think about my death and the shortness of life often. What? Are we like sadistic church now? We like sit around every Sunday for 10 minutes and be like, now everyone meditate upon your death. Well, probably not, but it's interesting. There was a guy named Moses. He was a prophet, and this is what he said. He was talking to God. He said, God, teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Hey, will you pass this ruler back or this tape measure, whatever it is? Just pass it back a little bit. Okay, that's good right there. Hold it down against the chair if you would. Good. All right, so this is 160,000 years, about the same amount of time that humans have existed on Earth. 160,000 years. Let me show you how long your life is. That little line right there. All right, that is it. That is the length of your life. And some of you live 20 years, some of you live 50 years. Let me show you how long a life is that's 120 years old. I'm gonna move it right there. All right, got it? When we realize how short our life is in the grand scheme of things, and if we wanted, we could take this tape measure, wrap it around the city block a couple times because the universe has been around for 4.5-5 billion years, and we're just a blip. We are a dot of a whisper of a blip. That is it. When you were a teenager, did your parents ever say anything to you like, you think you're going to live forever? Anyone say anything like that? Why are they saying that? Because they're going, hey, you think you're going to live forever, so you're making bad choices because you don't realize like how dumb this is. Wake up, your life is short. You got to make something of it. When we realize how short our life is, we go, wow, I don't have very much time to prepare for eternity. And even if my life sucks from here until the day I die, those short 80, 90 years, then I will have an awesome eternity for billions upon billions of years. The shorter our life is, when we realize how short our life is, we will be blessed with wisdom. Thanks. Basically, scripture is digging us to say YOLO in a really good way, in a really like holy way, right? All right, let's see. Someone watching online texted in and says, thinking about my death and the shortness of time makes me want to curl up in my room. Okay? Some people might feel that way. What I would encourage you to do when you face a situation like that, you're either going to respond out of fear or you're going to respond out of faith. And faith says, wow, God is coming. I've got a very short amount of time to get ready. I'm either going to be ready or I'm not going to be ready. If there was an army coming towards your house right now, or, you know, I know who comes to Revolution Church. Let's just say you're inside your house. The drug task force is coming to your house, all right? And they are coming to get you. You've got 5 minutes to decide what to do. You're going to curl up in your bed? Maybe, but then you're going to jail. I'm not going to give you advice on how to get out of this situation. But let's say when Jesus comes back, right, you can get ready. You can get rid of the sin in your life, and you can prepare for him to return. I almost said you can go flesh stuff, and that would have just... I'm not going to teach people how to sin here. All right, let's pretend we didn't hear that and take it home. All right, take it home. Let's write this down. I will think about areas of my life where I've been relying on signs or... I can't believe I said that. All right, where I've been relying on signs or feelings instead of wisdom. Then I will think about the 5 ways to increase my wisdom and I'll pursue those instead. If in fact I'm considering or participating in a major life change, I will immediately work on the list, especially 2, 3, and 4. So some of you are experiencing a life change right now. You're going through a transition. If that's you, immediately, before the day ends today, go and do 2, 3, and 4, okay? Big deal, let's pray. God, thank you for loving us. I pray that you'll give us wisdom and be able to live it out. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Wisdom wins. Go find wisdom.